And I used to serve up in a church up north of it, and it was had a different name, which I already stated. But we are here at Union Grove Baptist Church tonight, and in Union Grove, Wisconsin, about 30 minutes south of Milwaukee. So if you happen to be in the area and are watching us online or through video and are in Kenosha, Racine, or Milwaukee counties, you're definitely within the Tri-County area, and we are the hub, if you will, of that particular area. So tonight, again, we call our what we're doing Prophecy Focus Global Update. You can see us on not only the Union Grove website, but also on prophecyfocus.org and catch up on prophetic things. Tonight, I'm switching the phone number tonight. We're going to be using a different number, and it'll be on your screen. So those watching specifically on the internet, or even folks sitting here right now, if you, instead of using a mic, you want to text a message in and say, hey, I got a particular comment, or you have a question about the things we're going through, we'll do our best to get to it. Last week, we had several people sitting in the queue we couldn't get to, so we answered the folks afterwards. All right. Richard, we're about to embark, and I even kept this secret from you a little bit.
I'm excited.
All right, so we're going to be talking about the giant. What comes to your mind?
Well, a couple different things. When I think giant, I always think, well, the first thing I think of is, David and Goliath for the giant. Otherwise, I possibly think of, like, the statue for Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, Nebuchadnezzar back in the Old Testament. Well, folks, we're going to show you what I believe is a prototype of the image of the beast that's talked about in Revelation 13. So we're going to probably cut the front lights for right now. We got about a five-minute video. What you're going to see, you're going to say, you're kidding. This isn't real. Folks, this is as real. I researched it. I've gone to multiple different places. What you're about to see is real. It's happening. It's in place. And to me, it's absolutely shocking and amazing at the same time. So we're going to watch a five-minute clip again on the giant.
If at first the idea is not absurd, then there's no hope for it. Albert Einstein. People of the world, welcome to the giant. The visitor attraction for the 21st century. The exhibition space featuring the giant experience, a glorious celebration of the great men and women of your country. Inventors, artists, scientists, celebrities, and athletes. The viewing tower. See the city from the shoulders of a giant. The roof garden. New dimensions in retail, gastronomy, and special events for diversity of occasions. The world's tallest moving sculpture. Its head moves. Its arms move. It speaks and sings. A place to behold heroes and superheroes. A space to celebrate the great and the good, the game changers, the icons of your city and country. Every hour, the giant transforms into an extraordinary person from sports, science, characters, your favorite heroes, and recites poetry and words of wisdom to the crowds below. A space to celebrate the great and the good. The great men and women who have made this world a better place to live in. A digital canvas for artistic creation. A creative canvas like no other. A digital art gallery in the sky that displays masterpieces from today and throughout the ages. The giant brings artists together from throughout the world. A beacon for brand celebration. A new eye-catching platform for businesses to reach customers in a novel and memorable way. A giant opportunity. A business model that delivers world-class experiences and world-class profits. An economic stimulator that enhances tourism, job creation, footfall, and commercial activity in the city. Join the Giants movement. The world's largest selfie. An homage to human potential. The world's most awe-inspiring selfie. Visitors are scanned and instantly become a giant. An experience to share and remember for a lifetime. There's nothing like it on the planet. Imagine you can be the giant. The giant transforms into a stage and a backdrop for festivals, concerts, performances, and special events. Let the party begin! If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. The Giant. Coming to 21 cities in 2021. Awaken the giant in you.
If we can catch the lights.
That was a little creepy. I'm a little intimidated by the giant.
All right. So what's outside of that? What's your first impressions when you look at this? And by the way, I lost our screen up here. So what do you think when you first come see this and you think of it from even a biblical perspective? What may or may not come into your mind?
It's like the totality of everything that we worship here in America, like sports, entertainment, the comic book characters being up there, worshiping man himself, the creature over the creator. And yeah, and then of course it's a beacon for shopping and profitability and economics. And
okay, yeah. So this giant speaks a whole language to us that are in prophecy. So if you have a Bible, go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to read several verses. Revelation 13 is, in my opinion, one of the most powerful prophetic passages in the entire Word of God. It speaks about a satanic trinity that one day is going to rise up, consisting of Satan, the Antichrist, also known as the first beast in Revelation 13, and it talks about another beast. So there's actually three members to the Satanic Trinity, just like three members belong to God's Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you go to Revelation 13, verse 11, it's on the screen if you don't have it, and here's what it said. Richard, why don't you read the first three verses?
Starting with verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in the presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
All right, so we're setting the context. We haven't hit the punchline yet. So we're talking about another beast. Again, Revelation 13, three different individuals, Satan, Antichrist, known as the first beast, and that's why now the Lord's speaking about another beast or the false prophet. So we have the understanding the false prophet is going to play a major role in the prophetic future, i.e. during the tribulation period. We'll show you a prophetic chart in a little bit, but this actually what's taking place here is happening in the second half or the great tribulation. Let's go down to verse 14 and 15, Richard, if you wouldn't mind.
And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
Wait a second. Did you catch what we just read? How many of you just saw that video? A 10-story mass. And it, folks, when I first saw this, I thought it was a joke. I wouldn't even believe in it. It's like, it's some cutesy little commercial for heaven knows what. But it turns out this is absolutely positively real. There's a setup to take this giant, literally called the giant, across the world on different platforms. They're looking at making multiple giants like you just saw. Giants, if you just tuned into us, is a giant statue that can speak. Its mouth moves. Its head moves. Its arm moves. And you go to Revelation 13. Now, I am not by, and I want to give a disclaimer here, by no means am I stating, because I don't believe this has anything to do with the robotic, I don't even know how to describe it. Revelation 13 tells us something very similar in form is going to be coming in the tribulation. Why, you say, well, why is this such a shock to you today? Because I have never seen the technology nor someone who's investing in this. That giant that you just saw cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million. Now, obviously, somebody's putting this together to make a lot of money. But what's it doing? It is a prototype. Thank you, sir. It is a prototype for strongly what I believe is going to be coming in the prophetic future. Verse 15 again. He, speaking of this image, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and here's the operative piece now, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be what?
Killed.
To be killed. All right, so this is, I believe, a prototype of what is going to come in the prophetic future. This is the first, you talk about a big, massive 10-story thing. You can go up the elevator. It's got an atrium. It's huge. It's massive. Is it going to get people's attention? Okay. Got my attention, and I just saw the video. You ride with that into a local place, and it's got your attention. So based on that, What do you think? Where are we going with this big image?
I mean, again, like so many of the other precursors that are going around, it's going to get people used to seeing an image like that. And again, this one's going to be about the economic place because, again, it's about money. So when the mark of the beast comes and you have to take that to trade and make trade, you're going to have to worship that beast. And you're going to have to come that oh, my, wow. Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah, it's setting the stage. Again, I am not stating this is the image of the beast. I absolutely know it is not the image of the beast because we haven't started the tribulation period yet, which can't happen until those of us that are believers are gone. So keep this in the back of your mind. We're actually probably in about 20, 30 minutes or so, we're going to get into something else that's going to piggyback off this same concept, and we're going to develop it even more. All right, before we get there, though, we want to take you, we talk about global, so what do you say we go to China?
China, yeah, let's.
All right, so let's take a look at this. So courageous faith in China's early reign church, Ariel Del Turco from Family Research Center put out this article. So here's an article that was put out regarding a horrific persecution that is taking place with one of our Chinese brothers. And Richard, I got a little piece outlined here, if you wouldn't mind reading that for me.
The ruling Chinese Communist Party often feels threatened by anyone who publicly disagrees with the state or even pledges allegiance to authorities outside of party control, and that includes God. This makes dissidents and sometimes people of faith who refuse to comply to state regulation perceived opponents of the state itself.
All right. Here's where we're going. When we're looking at some of the foreign powers around the country and what is happening right here in America. So what's the issue? The name of our, if you will, sessions that we're doing is called Prophecy Focus Global Update. The word global is very much on purpose. Again, I need to take us back to the previous administration, especially those watching for the first time or being here for the first time. The previous administration, when we looked at Donald Trump as being the president, everything was about make what great again. It was all about America. It was a nationalistic message. It was not a global message. All right? And again, I'm not here to discuss or to debate politics. We're simply showing what has changed. Richard, I've been asked, why do you, and I'm putting him on the spot constantly, so you'll just have to think on your feet, my brother. Ready to go.
You're ready.
So when I've been asked many different times by folks, they're like, well, why did God take Donald Trump out of office and put in someone else? Have you ever heard that, and how do you respond?
Yeah, I usually tell them two things. I apologize because I've been praying for the rapture, and so God's got to move his prophetic plan along. So, and that's it. God's still in control, and he's got a plan, and revelation is going to happen, and we got to move closer to that.
All right, so here, let me just throw this out here. And many of the Christian conservative community specifically was extremely upset the way the election went. And when you look at it from a prophetic standpoint, whether you loved, hate, or are indifferent towards the previous president, he was not moving in a anti-God, anti-national position. He was not playing along with the prophetic calendar, which was, in our opinion, from a conservative standpoint, that was a great thing. So I always put it out there. Romans chapter 13 makes it very clear that God determines who is going to be put in office. It's a front government office. We're not talking about church office. So when we look, why did God put or take a president that many conservatives enjoyed and thought was going in the right direction? God has to move the prophetic calendar along. So here's my two-cent answer is this. Even though we may have enjoyed what he was doing, even though God gave us, if you will, 4 years where the Christian church and Israel and all the things that we hold dear were going to the forefront, God has to begin. And I don't know if it's today, I don't know if it's tomorrow, I don't know if it's a year from now or 20 years from now. God has to begin to set things up so that his prophetic calendar comes to pass exactly as written. So that's kind of how I deal with it.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. That's like a lot of things that are happening, I'm like, this is just kind of get people set up and get people ready for things to come. Like I know as they talk about like the vaccine passport, so you got to prove that you have the vaccine to go places. I'm like, it's just another precursor to get the general public ready and waiting for the mark of the beast. So when the mark of the beast comes, everybody that knows about it is going to take it.
And we're actually going to go there in a few minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Super. All right. All right. So why are we bringing up China? Okay, so here we have an individual. He's been arrested multiple times already. Simply, he was at a funeral the last time. He gets arrested in China, put in jail. And why am I bringing up the persecution there? Well, we want to go to the next piece of China here, where... Here's what it tells us. China urges the United States and Russian nuclear cuts and progress in Iranian talks. What's he talking about here? Basically, China is saying, here's what they want to do right now. And we're going to bring in the prophetic nexus in a minute. So every single thing we're going to talk about tonight is going to start with a news story. And then we're going to see how it potentially is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. So, Richard, just on its face and looking at this, so China's urging us, the United States, and Russia to cut our nuclear concepts and to start increasing our talks with Iran. What pops into your head?
I don't like trusting the Yeah,
now,
when
now
somebody
nice.
Tells
you got to be politically correct here, okay?
Right, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm not good at it. It's kind of like asking you to put your I don't know, it's like telling us to back off on our security to why do you want us to back off on our security and then also open up to people that are known to, I mean...
May not be our best friends.
Not our best friends.
All right.
Yeah. No, not our interests at heart here. They're looking out for themselves, and they want it for their own reasonings, and they're going to use politics to make us look bad in order for us to do it.
All right, very good. And, folks, I know that all of us probably are coming up with that same conclusion I have. All right, so why do we care about China? Why do we care about them saying, listen, United States, you cut your armaments. Russia, you cut your armaments. Let's talk to Iran. Why do we care about that? All right, so up on the screen right now, what you're seeing are the 21 major judgments that are going to come during the future seven-year tribulation period. What is very interesting is that when you look at the judgments, and if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, we start with what's known as the seal judgments that develop into the trumpet judgments, which then develop into the bowl or vial judgments. And actually, China, what they're talking about here, comes into the prophetic calendar, not in those first 14 judgments, but they actually come into the latter part of the tribulation when a massive thing is going to take place. So what we're talking about, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, Richard, if you wouldn't mind reading that for us.
Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared.
All right. We are in this is in the tribulation period. Again, we're in the church age now. The next major event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church or the taking up. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Then we go into the 7-year tribulation period. The first 3.5 years is characterized by moderate peace, if you will, for the Israelis. And we'll get into that. The last half is absolute chaos in Israel. A wiping out of 2/3 of the Jewish people, Zechariah 13, 8, and 9. Horrible, horrible devastation in Israel, Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to see that. But one of the major judgments, basically, that God is going to be using to come to a battle called Armageddon is something dealing with the kings of the east. Now, if you look at the picture here, this is what's called a wadi. It's a dry riverbed. So it's we're just using it as a mock picture of Euphrates. Now, Richard, I don't know if you've ever gone through a dry creek bed or something like that, but not too hard to cross over.
No.
Pretty easy.
Right.
All right, so what we're looking at in the future, in the prophetic future, we're going to talk about, again on the screen for you, is the Euphrates River is going to be dried up. Here's something to think about. When you look at the horrible judgments, the 21 major judgments that will take place during the tribulation period, tremendous famine, virtually all resources are gone. Food is gone. Money is gone. Violence is off the charts. Horrible. Out of the 7.3 billion people that exist today, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just from two judgments, 50% of 7.3 billion, which gets you about how many?
3.7 billion.
There you go. Are literally killed during this time. Catastrophic judgments. Now we're getting up to the end of the tribulation period. God is going to dry up, if you will, the Euphrates River. Again, why do we care about China being upset with Israel or the United States or anyone else? I'll ask you this, and again, off-the-cuff question. Have you heard anything about China talking negatively about the United States and potentially attacking us?
No.
Okay, I have.
You have.
Yeah, I just wondered if you had.
No.
All right. China has made some open statements about potentially coming out against the United States. Here's the reason, and again, those of you that have been under our teaching for some time, the most commonly asked question in Bible prophecy conferences is, do you remember? Where is the something in Bible prophecy, a particular country?
America.
America, USA. America. Is the USA in Bible prophecy? Mm-mm. And again, I always turn to my good friend Jimmy DeYoung, who had this happen in one of his conferences, and he went. A gentleman stood up in the back of the room, and he said, "I know where the USA is in Bible prophecy." And he says, and Jimmy looks at him. He's like, "Okay, sir, go ahead, tell us where the USA is in Bible prophecy." He says, "Well, it's very simple." And of course, Jimmy isn't getting any happier right now. But he's like, "Okay, sir," he honored it. And he says, "Well, okay, where's the USA in Bible prophecy?" And he says, "Well, it's very simple. Jerusalem. They'll be in Jerusalem." Like most some of you, you begin to laugh, right? It's like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. USA's in Jerusalem." And then he stopped and he said, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 makes it very clear that all nations that have survived the seven-year tribulation will end up in Jerusalem, where they will come to the battle of Armageddon. All right? So here's the issue. The USA is never once mentioned in Bible prophecy. You say, are you saying we may not be here at the end of the tribulation? I think that's exactly what I'm saying. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know. I got a couple different thoughts on that. But yeah, I think after the tribulation, because with all those 3.7 million people dying and all the judgments.
It's speculation.
Right.
But it gets you thinking. When the kings of the east, and let's go on to the next verse. If you would read, chapter 16, verse 12 to 16, and we'll get the full context of why the kings of the east, China, the drying up of the Euphrates River, and them now stating to the United States of America, why don't you and Russia just put your weapons away? By the way, Russia is mentioned in Bible prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 38, known as Magog. Ezekiel 38 and 39, all the major nations involved in a major war are listed there. Different names back in the Old Testament times, but that's a good study in itself. But let's read this and find out a little bit more why China is going to be involved in the prophetic future.
Okay, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered them together on the place called in Hebrew Armageddon.
Armageddon. Every single person in here, when you hear that word, it's like, that's a big deal. It's a huge battle that's going to take place at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. China will definitely be involved. With that, the kings of the east will definitely be involved with this, so it is definitely coming. So we're going to put up just a smidgen of probably the different countries that could be involved in this. But you look at where Israel is on the map, and we start to look at the major players that are going to be involved, the kings of the east coming through the river Euphrates. Now think about this, and Richard, this again is huge speculation. When you look at the total devastation that'll be taking place during the seven-year tribulation, why does it matter that the river Euphrates is dried up? Why don't they just fly a plane in or, take a boat or something and come on in? Think about if all the resources have been destroyed. How about if there's no gas available, no fuel available? Nothing's available. How in the world are you going to travel in those days if let's say there are nothing that can run on gas because the supply is gone?
You're going to have to do it like Genghis Khan did it. Come from the east on horse and foot.
Bam.
Come marching.
And you're like, come on, that is craziness. In our day and age, there's no way on earth that people with huge pocketbooks and giant artillery and giant planes and all these things are going to end up fighting on horses. Well, folks, when we go through prophecy, it's a very real possibility. So when the kings of the east are able to make their way and come through on dry land, it has a whole lot of credence when you understand how devastating that seven-year period is going to be. Everything that me and you are consider normal is going to disappear. Do we know anything about a pipeline that recently got shut down on the East Coast?
yeah, we do.
What happened?
Panic, and we poured gasoline in bags.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens to transportation when the people couldn't get any gas?
Shuts it down.
Absolutely. Valerie and I were in Tennessee the week that this took place, just about 2-3 weeks ago, whenever it was. I'm bad with my dates. We're out there, and all of a sudden, we get all these panic notifications. There's not going to be any gas. So what's the first thing we did? We went to the gas station and filled our Suburban up. And then we're starting to hear, well, this state shut down, and this state shut down. And a massive technical malware type thing or ransomware infected it, and it shut down the entire gas supply. What happens if the power grid shuts down?
Panic.
It's going to get hot and dark real quick. Folks, these things I'm speculating, but based on what we see happening in Revelation, I don't think it's too much of a bad guess as to what's going to happen.
Well, even look at what happened in Texas this winter, 4 days without power and how many people were dying.
Yeah. People literally froze to death because they were not prepared for that type of outage. Folks, with 7 years of this going on, it's going to be horrible. Again, this is ideas. These are concepts. These are probabilities of things that are looking to set the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. All right, let's go to the next one. What else is going on globally? Well, let's go to Israel.
Sweet.
And we last time when we met 1 week ago, Benjamin Netanyahu was still potentially going to keep his government, but that disappeared on Sunday. So as we had stated, and actually the media had pretty much let it be known that Naftali Bennett is now the prime minister. The Israeli government has changed hands. Again, we had some questions last week about Naftali Bennett is more to the conservative side, but yes, Atid is basically the number two guy, is more a centrist or moderate as far as politics goes. Is that going to affect Bible prophecy? What do you think?
No, because it's all in God's timeline. It's just, again, going to be setting up the stage, if you will.
All right. Well, let's go to the scriptures and find out what's going to happen to Israeli leadership. Matthew chapter 24 talks about that seven-year tribulation period. Now, how is it going to affect America's relationships with Israel? How is our current president going to relate to Naftali Bennett? Is that going to affect things on a global scale? There will always be the political scene that will keep up. How is that going to affect how God's people respond to Israel? Folks, these questions are absolutely, in the last year, is absolutely off the charts because absolutely nothing is stable right now. I usually would go to Israel 2 or 3 times a year. I can't get to Israel right now. Number one, the borders are mainly shut down. And number two, if you don't take the shot, you are not getting into Israel, at least not at the present time. So tourism to Israel, there's a whole lot of conservatives that are refusing, if you will, to take the vaccine, which is an issue. The government is changing. Relationships are changing. And is this a unpardonable concern for us as Christians? What do you think?
I don't think it's unpardonable concern, no. I'm intrigued. Why would it be unpardonable concern?
Well, let's read Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, and find out what's going to happen to the Israeli government.
Okay, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
All right, Matthew chapter 24, once again. And I want to make it very clear, there's people that are very confused about what Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus' prophetic preaching, is discussing. It's all dealing with the future seven-year tribulation period. Nothing to do with our current church age or the rapture of the church. What he's describing in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, is what's going to happen in the middle of that seven-year period. I made this statement that in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, is it going to be war or peace, at least a pseudo-peace for Israel? Which one? Pseudo-peace. Daniel 9, in fact, let's go to Daniel 9. We got it on the screen. Daniel 9, verse 27 speaks to this. This was written in approximately 540 B.C. It's now 2021 A.D. Richard, I'm going to ask you to read this, and I'm going to ask you to use the fill-ins that I put in there to spell out exactly what Daniel was talking about.
Then he, Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, but in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he, the Antichrist, shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, future tribulation temple in Jerusalem, experiencing the abomination of desolation.
All right, and there's a couple other verses that we threw in there for you. So what's going to happen to the Israeli government, and how does it affect Bible prophecy? Well, at this particular juncture, the only thing that matters to us as Christians, quite frankly, when it's in reference to Israel, is, and we have many different organizations, Christian organizations that like to help the Jewish people, do tours in Israel, have the ability to go over and see the places where Jesus walked, if you will, go through Jerusalem and Galilee and Samaria and Jordan, all these different, not Jordan, Jordan across the river, Jordan River I'm talking about, not necessarily Jordan the country, but every single thing from, if you will, the southern to the northern tip of Israel, we as Christians are interested in. We're interested in the Temple Mount, not because we're Jewish, but because it has biblical history, and we love biblical history, and to see what God did back in the Old Testament times. So what's going to happen to that Israeli government, and how is it going to affect prophecy? The bottom line is the Israeli government is going to one day be completely wiped out. The Antichrist is going to move in. All the Jewish people, according to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus made it very clear when he spoke to the disciples, there is coming a day. And he said this, when you see the abomination of desolation, what is he talking about? The giant? You said what? How many of you just saw that video, the giant? Some of you might have come in late. The giant, or something like it, not this giant. And again, to those that have made the giant, I am not by any means stretch of the imagination stating that that is the image talked about in Revelation. I don't believe it has anything to do with it, but I believe that some type of technology like that is going to become a reality in the tribulation period. So, what am I saying? When the abomination of desolation, when something like this prototype, I believe, that was put up there, is taken out, the false prophet takes that image and puts it in the third temple. You say, well, how do you know there's going to be a third temple? Because Daniel 9:27 makes it clear there's going to be a third temple. You say, how do you get that? The Antichrist shall confirm a covenant, better a peace treaty, with many, the Jewish people, for 1 year. We know 1 year in the prophetic heptads is 7 years. And we're not going to go into all the proof of that right now, or we'll never get through the what we're doing. But in the middle of the week, literally, after 3.5 years, after that first 3.5 years of peace, the Antichrist is going to break that peace treaty. Why? Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7 through the end of the chapter, Antichrist is going to be empowered physically by Satan. You say, how do you know that? Because in Revelation 12, 7 and on, Satan's up in heaven. He gets tossed out of heaven. There's a literal battle between Michael and the archangels and Satan and the demonic world cast out to this earth. The Bible tells us that Satan is off the charts, wrathful, angry, because he knows that his time is what?
Near.
Short. You know the passage. 3.5 years left before he is going to be sent permanently to the lake of fire or to hell. It is coming. All right, so there's going to be the temple built at that time. There's going to, the peace treaty is going to allow for it. And what's going to happen? Well, if we went on to the rest of the verse in Daniel 9, it tells us that at the end of that 3.5 years, the sacrifice and the oblation will be stopped. How? The Antichrist walks in, actually the false prophet will walk into the temple. He'll bring in this whatever image, this robotic thing that probably has many similar characteristics to what we saw in the video today. And all of a sudden, if you don't worship that image, you die. Done. Is that scary? It shouldn't be. Why? Because if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be taken up at
the rapture.
The rapture. All right, there you go. All right, so let's move on again. So when we look at the global leadership from a global perspective, when we look at American government, when we look at Israeli government, we could put every single person from all the dozens and hundreds of countries that exist around the world according to Bible prophecy. It all comes down to how many leaders?
One.
Good guess. It all comes down to one leader, and what's his name going to be?
The Antichrist.
It shall be the Antichrist. Now, I'm sure that the person will not be called Antichrist, but from a biblical perspective, that's his endearing nickname, if you will. Who knows what this person will actually be called. All right, so let's move on to our next section, and let me check real quick. I think we might have a couple of messages here. Why don't you pop on those two? You can read them to me, and hopefully you can see them.
I have a question. Somebody texted in. Do you think that God allowed Netanyahu to remove due to him pushing the vaccination onto people?
Well, again, that would be 100% speculation. I don't know why Netanyahu was removed. All I can say is this. From a political standpoint, he was very strong on retaliating against Hamas. The Palestinians specifically took horrific offense to that. Naftali Bennett came off a little bit softer, as did the coalition government, and they want a little more of the kumbaya concept instead of, boom, the hardcore press. But why did God do it? That remains to be seen. Stay tuned.
All right.
Got another one?
Yeah, another one. This one basically is saying a lot of people want to leave behind messages for the tribulation. They want to leave messages behind for people that for loved ones. So if they come to your house, there's something there for them. Is there like a message or something that a prepared sermon or something that you can leave behind in your house so that if loved ones come looking for you, they find that and can find Christ and salvation?
Right. It's a great point. Those of you that watch Prophecy Focus on VCY TV, my partner John Fallahy literally has a internet setup that almost every 30 days he resets it, and if he doesn't reset it, it will automatically go out to everybody that he knows with the message about the rapture. So that's great. If somebody wants to, if you're interested, those watching from afar and would like to know how to do that, send us your emails or your texts, and we'll be happy to get you the instructions, and I'll ask John to write it out, and I'll make him do the work, but we'll get that information to him. I think you had one more?
No, that was it.
That's it?
Yeah,
all right, good.
Yeah.
All right, I need my toy back.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. All right. Let's move to our next section then, and let's talk about Egypt for a few moments. So, Richard, when we look at the headline on this one, Egypt is beginning to reassert regional leadership. So I have a quiz for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So how many of you have played Which One Doesn't Belong? Right? I mean, it's like, I think this has even been on like huge TV shows.
Yeah, Sesame Street. Which one of these is not like the other?
Oh, that
Which
would...
one of these just doesn't belong?
Okay.
This one.
So you have children at home?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe five. Actually, six right now are at your home. But that's exactly the concept. So let's play Which One Doesn't Belong, and you're on the spot here. Egypt, Hamas, Gaza Strip, Israel. Which one does not belong?
This is tough.
Okay, Oscar.
Israel. I'm going to go with Israel.
And the answer is?
Israel. What do I get?
All right, so a little fun to try and make a point, though. After what happened, and we went through all this last week when we talked about it, we're going to do a quick little review of this. Egypt is a major player in Bible prophecy, a major player. And we're just going to get into a tip of that tonight, but just to show what's taking place globally and how it's setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Why is Israel not match up with Egypt, Hamas, and the Gaza Strip? Well, let's go to our next slide here. Oh, I didn't even put it up. I only put it up in front of me. There you go. You were right. Israel was didn't belong. Why doesn't it belong? All right, so when we look at the Jewish land, Israel, who gave the Jews the specific land called Israel? God did. Absolutely, positively. The land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 5, spells out God had specifically promised the Jewish people a land. Richard, the next question is, for 10 points.
Yes.
Does Israel currently possess all the land that God promised them?
No.
Are they close?
No.
No, about 10% of the land of what God had promised Israel is what they have today. Now, we have this conflict that started last month between Gaza and Jerusalem. We've talked about that already. I'm not going to go repeating that. You can see it on our previous broadcast on sermonaudio.com, S-E-R-M-O-N, no space, audio, A-U-D-I-O.com. All the videos are up, or you can go to our website, myugbc.com, and also get it there. All right, bottom line is Gaza, which is actually property that belongs to Israel, the Jewish people, during one of the wars, that strip of land was given to the Palestinian people. So when we look at this, what happens? Currently, we know that there was some lobbing of rockets, in fact, thousands of rockets, into Israel during this conflict that ended at the end of May. We talked about what happened last time. Were they supposedly still going to fight, or did they look at a ceasefire?
They looked at a ceasefire.
Ceasefire.
And I believe Egypt was negotiating that.
Egypt negotiating the peace, if you will, or the ceasefire between the Palestinians and the, I forget, what is it?
Israel?
I think that's it. Absolutely, that's it. All right? So when we're looking at the property that God has promised Israel, here it is on the screen right now, the major passages, which we're not going to go through, Genesis 15, Numbers 34, Ezekiel 47 and 48, discuss the borders that one day Israel will have but has never possessed up to this point. So what is our point? Well, hang on. First of all, if you've got questions, you can text us tonight at 414-788-6010. And this number is only good for our next 15 minutes while we're here, but we'd love to hear from you, 414-788-6010. And we're coming to you tonight from Union Grove Baptist Church, my home church where I pastor here, with all our wonderful people. So we certainly invite you to come visit us right here in Union Grove, Wisconsin, about 30 minutes south of Milwaukee in Racine County. All right, so what are we talking about here when we're looking at Egypt is starting to gain power? We're seeing them align with other countries that are one day going to come out against the Jewish people. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse, Ezekiel's chapter 38 and 39 talks about the alignment of the nations that are going to come up and attack Israel one day. And all this, I strongly believe, because it's biblical, is setting the stage for those Bible prophecies to come true. All right, so we're going to have to hasten or we won't get through. Let's go to the G7 summit. Now, how many of you know what the G7 summit is? All right, a fraction of folks, if everybody, either they don't want to raise their hand or they don't know, all right? So I'm thinking more didn't want to raise their hand than and do know. But the G7 summit, we got a couple of things. Let's. I'll have you read this here. Why don't you start going through this, and we'll help you understand what it's about.
So Prime Minister Boris Johnson will use the UK's G7 presidency to unite leading democracies to help the world fight and then build back better for coronavirus and create a greener, more prosperous future. The attendees were Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States of America. The UK has invited Australia, India, South Korea, and South Africa as guest countries to this year's G7.
All right, very good. All right, so the G7, we have these specific countries that supposedly are our major players financially and so forth that met together. As you can tell, some of the major players were not there. Russia, China, some of the key players that were not, of course, at the G7 summit. So what are we doing here? All right, I want us to pay attention to what was the topics at the G7 summit and how does it tie into Bible prophecy. So we're going to go to the next slide here. The G7 leaders commit to protect planet and turbocharge global green growth. What's the key thing underlined at the bottom of the slide? Climate crisis and protect nature. So we bring together the major players, and of course our president is thoroughly invested in this. Now let me caveat. Richard, does it make sense that we should take care of our world or just let it self-destruct?
No, we were called to be good stewards.
All right, so we should be good stewards of the land. Can we agree on that?
Amen.
All right. But what's going on with the rhetoric that's saying the world's going to end, it's going to be destroyed in a few years if we don't do certain things? All right? So they're doing this thing, if you will, to try and save the world from climate crisis, coming at it from, if you will, a humanistic, fleshly concept. Now, why do we even care about climate crisis? Because here's the major reason. Prophecy definitely discuss global warming. Some of you say, come on, Pastor, get real. Let's do it.
It's going to get toasty.
It's going to get toasty. Can you read Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 and 9?
Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory.
Wait a second. Scorch men with what?
Great heat from the sun.
All right, folks. Global warming will be a reality. You say, well, when does Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 and 9 come to pass? It again falls into what we started at the beginning of our hour, talking about the seven bowl or vial judgments that are going to be poured out upon the earth. One of those horrific judgments includes the fire of the sun will be turned up so high, and we've talked about this, what kind of a temperature do we have to get to where this can take place? We're talking about 140 degrees minimum Fahrenheit. I've been in the Negev Desert in Israel where it got up to about 116, 120. That's pretty toasty. You go out in the stuff that's exceeding 140 degrees, if God turns the sun up, which he is going to do, and it's going to literally burn people to death. Now you say, wait a second. I always hear, and God's loving, God cares about folks, God is here to just save people and not to hurt people. Richard, what comes to mind when we talk about the judgment of God during this time period? Does it make sense? What is God doing?
Pouring out his wrath upon the sin of the world.
Absolutely. Folks, God will only take so much. The tribulation period, that seven-year tribulation period, has one focused by God himself, and it's to prepare for the next major event on God's prophetic calendar, which is for him to set up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom right here on this earth, Revelation 20, verses 1 to 7. Six times in seven verses, God states he will be here for 1,000 years. When Jesus Christ steps foot on this earth, Revelation 19, 11 through 21, he will finish out destroying, getting rid of every single person that will not follow him. Now, there's a whole lot more that comes after that statement, but God will not tolerate evil when he comes back. Now, remember, if you're a Christian, you'll have left 7 years ago, but many people will be born. There'll still be a ton of people that'll be left here that weren't raptured at the tribulation time, and they will be left behind, and if they don't come to Christ, they will suffer the wrath of God, including this short-term huge scorching where people are literally burned with fire. Is global warming a fact? It's going to be a huge fact in the prophetic future. All right, we've got to move on, and again, the seven bowl or vial judgments will happen right at the end of that last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Would you mind reading 2 Peter 3:10-13 for us?
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
All right, folks, so what's the prophetic word telling us? This heaven, this earth are all one day going to be destroyed by what?
Fire.
There is a literal, there will be a literal destruction, if you will, by quote-unquote global warming. But how long until that can happen? Very quickly, because we're getting short on time. When we look at God's prophetic calendar, again, since the cross came, we currently live in what's known as the church age. Started about 2,000 years ago. We do not know the day it's going to end. However, we do know the event that will end the current age in which we live. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 and 1 Corinthians 15:50-54 tell us about a day when Jesus Christ will descend in the clouds, not touch down on the earth, and all the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Immediately after that event starts the 7-year tribulation period. 3.5 years of characterized by peace at first for the Jewish people only, Daniel 9:27. The rest of the world will be in utter chaos. The great abomination that we talked about in Matthew 24 will happen in the midst when the image will be put into the temple. The Jewish people will be told to scatter or die, one or the rest. They will head out to, literally from Judea, they will flee to the mountains. After that 7-year period, Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom, Revelation 21:7. After that, the passage that Richard just read is from 2 Peter, the heavens and the earth will be dissolved by fire, and the Revelation 21 starts out with a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. All the things we talked about so far tonight, and we're just about done, are going to happen in the prophetic future. All right, so let's go very quickly, Richard, if you wouldn't mind. Go ahead, you had something?
No, I was...
All right, why don't you read that real quick. Let's go to the G7 Summit and finish up on this.
Okay, so the G7 discusses a 100-day mission to improve readiness for future pandemics. Leaders discuss the 100-day mission to have safe and effective vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics within 100 days of a future pandemic threat being identified. Revelations 13:11-18.
All right, so what's going to be taking place? Also, we're talking about, and Richard, you brought this up a little bit earlier, about the pandemic that's currently going on, all the vaccines that are going on. Everything, all the media, incentives, get the vaccine, do this. Everything is how do we get the entire global planet to correspond and do this one thing in short order. Folks, I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that what is taking place now has anything to do with the tribulation. I don't believe it has one iota to do with the tribulation period. What I do believe it has a tremendous nexus to is this is setting the stage for the day when this is going to happen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. He, the satanic false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let he who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Richard, you made mention of it. Expand on what happens. How are they going to make this happen? How is everybody going to get these marks?
Everybody's already going to be conditioned to it through various things that have been going on through history, that it's going to make sense. It's going to be logical. It's going to be what you do to sell and trade. And just like people that look, the ones that are vaccinated, how they can look at the people that are unvaccinated in disdain and hate, they're going to be able to do it when this mark comes.
It's folks,
why don't you want to get along with the program?
That's exactly right. Folks, all these things we looked at tonight, they are not the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, but they are certainly setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Folks, let me close with this. How can you avoid all these things we talked about? How can you stay away from that horrible seven-year tribulation, which is definitely going to come? There's only one way, and that's to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. The last thing he wants is to cause you to have to go through tribulation, pain, heartache, or the lake of fire for eternity. Because Jesus Christ said, here's what I'm going to do. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. But Jesus said, I love you. Jesus said, I love you. And God said specifically that he came down from heaven. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, went to the cross, died on that cross. 3 days later was rose again from the dead to prove he was God. And he throws out this beautiful verse. Can you recite John 3:16 for us, please?
For God so loved the world that whoever believes in his Son shall not perish but have everlasting life.
There you go. God's promise. For God so loved the world, each one of us, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins. That anyone who would believe in him, put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus, can have eternal life. Have you ever trusted Christ? I hope you have. Folks, we invite you here once again. If you can live in the neighborhood, please come to Union Grove Baptist Church on Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to see you here. And we love folks here, and we promise we'll make you feel welcome. For those that are way far away from us, distance, whether a state or a country, whatever it may be, keep up with us. Virtually every week we'll have an update during the summer on Prophecy Focus. God bless you. Have a great night. Thanks for watching and coming. We're dismissed. Thank you.